Voice of America.
拜登增派美军前往欧洲因应乌克兰局势。民调显示，近半数美国人支持外交抵制北京冬奥会。多次批评中国人权记录的 NBA 球星坎特接受《美国之音》专访。大家好，欢迎收看《美国观察》，我是平章。因人权问题多次批评中国政府的 NBA 球星坎特近日接受了《美国之音》的专访，谈及他致力于倡导人权的体会。我们将在稍后的节目当中为您带来专访的完整内容。《美国观察》的节目热线已经开通，欢迎您拨打00212029204990给我们留言，跟我们分享您对节目的看法，也告诉我们您希望看到的节目内容。首先来关注今天的新闻。因应乌克兰的紧张局势，拜登政府增派美军前往欧洲。详细情况我们一起来看美国之音驻白宫记者黄耀毅发回的报道。
为了因应俄罗斯以及乌克兰的紧张局势，美国总统拜登在2月2号下令，除了之前已经下令待命的8500名美军之外，另外要增派美军前往欧洲。当中呢，有1700名的美军将在未来几天从北卡罗来纳州的布雷格堡前往波兰，300名美军前往德国。原本驻德国的1000名美国陆军将调往罗马尼亚。美国国防部表示，美军并不会前往乌克兰作战，而是配合欧洲盟友的行动。而美国国防部发言人科比在这个记者会上解释了这次行动的用意。
As the Secretary said, the United States stands shoulder to shoulder with our NATO allies. The current situation demands that we reinforce the deterrent and defensive posture on NATO's eastern flank. President Biden has been clear that the United States will respond to the growing threat to Europe's security and stability. We do not believe conflict is inevitable. The United States, in lockstep with our allies and partners, has offered Russia a path to de-escalate.But we will take all prudent measures to assure our own security and that of our ally. It's important that we send a strong signal to Mr. Putin and frankly to the world that NATO matters to the United States, it matters to our allies. And we have ironclad Article 5 commitments. An attack on one is an attack on all.
至于这些美军未来的动向呢，白宫发言人沙奇在白宫新闻简报上表示，这些美军的部署仅是暂时的。
Not permanent. They're not intended to be permanent. And again, we already had troop presence in all of these countries where we are doing an increase in troops. So I can't give you an evaluation. Obviously, if Russia decides to de-escalate, to take de-escalatory steps, then certainly that would impact what the force posture needs are in other parts of the region.
白宫发言人沙奇也强调，美军并不会直接前往乌克兰作战，而是美国根据遵守北约宪章当中的 Article 5第五条约，来向北约的盟友提供安全的协助。美国之音白宫记者黄毅白宫报道。
美国国会及行政当局中国委员会的两位主席2月1日致函美国国务卿，呼吁美国国务院对摩洛哥、沙特阿拉伯和哈萨克斯坦境内的维吾尔族和哈萨克族庇护申请者的案例进行外交干预，以防止这些人被遣返回中国。他们在信函中说，把这些庇护申请者赶回中国违反国际法，他们被遣返后有遭受任意拘押、酷刑折磨和其他形式的严重虐待的重大风险。美国贸易副代表比安奇2月1日在一个论坛上说，中国没有兑现在第一阶段贸易协议中做出的承诺，美方正努力处理这个问题。他同时表示，与中国的有关会谈非常困难。美国统计局预计在下个星期公布2021年的贸易数据，届时会对中国未能兑现承诺的情况提供具体数据。中国海关的数据显示，2021年对美国的贸易顺差增至3966亿美元。 皮尤研究中心最新公布的一项民调显示，46%的受访者赞同拜登政府外交抵制北京冬奥会，22%的人反对，31%的人不确定是赞同还是反对这项决定。民调显示，共和党人与民主党人对这项决定的看法基本一致，但是美国民众总体上来看，对于这项决定并不太了解。这项民调还发现，美国民众对于中国的看法一年来基本没有变化。54%的人视中国为美国的竞争对手，35%的人认为中国是美国的敌人，只有9%的人视中国为美国的合作伙伴。关注人权议题，批评习近平为独裁者的 NBA 球星，29岁的凯尔特人队的中锋坎特近日在波士顿接受了美国之音的专访，向邀请他访问中国的姚明传递信息，呼吁他不要做中共和习近平的传声筒。一起来看记者许湘云和方正从波士顿发来的报道。
Mr. Frieden, you have a quite unique last name.Could you tell us the meaning of it? I'm sure that it has rich meaning for you since it's a name of your choice, not from your parents.
You know, I remember first time coming to America back in 2009. I came here to play basketball and go to school same time. And I came here to play prep school. And I remember, you know, we were in a locker room and one of my teammates criticized the president of America.And I was very scared of him because I thought that he was going to be thrown in jails. And I even asked him, like, hey, you know, are you not scared? You know, he's like, he turned around and laughed at me and said, this is not Turkey. And he tried to explain to me a little bit about what freedom of speech means, freedom of expression, freedom of religion and press. And I was still very shocked and amazed at the same time. And I researched.And I found out that not every country in the world is like Turkey. And that's why I wanted to make that word part of me and carry it everywhere I go. And also the other thing is I wanted all the young kids out there, NBA fans, and especially sport fans out there, to just research about what freedom means and why did I choose that last name.
After living in the U.S. for more than a decade, you became an American last November.How was this decision made and why at this time?
You know, I was very, obviously, very excited. At the same time, there was a lot of emotions because I remember first time I stepped into this country, I wanted to become a part of this great nation. At the same time, you know, obviously, because of some of the, you know, human rights abuses are happening in Turkey, and I'm very outspoken about it.You know, Turkish government revoked my passport and put my name on Interpol list. So unfortunately, I was pretty much homeless the last 4 or 5 years. So that's why I wanted to become a citizen and just start traveling. And I finally received my American passport 2 weeks ago. And I'm finally going to be able to travel outside of America now.
Recently, former NBA star Yao Ming invited you to visit China. You accepted his invitation and invite him to visit labor camps with you. Do you think that Yao Ming will come alone and will Xi Jinping give you a visa?
I wanted to go. I really wanted to go. And I wanted to go see. But I told him, I was like, I don't want a propaganda. I don't want a luxury tour of China. You know, I want to see the real China and show the whole world that what's going on over there. I offered him...that if I'm coming to China, let's go visit slave labor camps in Xinjiang. And let's go visit Tibet together. Let's go visit, you know, Hong Kong. And after that, when we are done, we can go and fly to Taiwan and see what democracy means. And obviously, after I posted that video, I was very shocked that he blocked me on Instagram.And I even put a tweet out there and say, that's what the little kids does, you know? I mean, as an all-star, as a Hall of Famer, a legend like Yao Ming, he was just embarrassing himself to the whole world. But I think what I will say to Yao Ming, if we sit down and have a conversation, I will just tell him to stop being a puppet of Chinese Communist Party. stop being a mouthpiece of Communist Party and Xi Jinping. If you want to have a real conversation, you know where I live, you know what city I'm in, you know, just come here and we can have a conversation.
You mentioned that you have heard a lot about Taiwan. Could you share with us what have you heard?
I heard about that. You know, I heard about, obviously, Taiwan from my friends. And once I started to talk about these issues, obviously, I studied Taiwan a little bit. And, you know, the first thing I did was just put on Google Taiwan. That's it. And I went to Google Images. I wanted to see what Taiwan is about. And it was one of the most beautiful country that I seen on the pictures. And obviously, then I had a conversation with some of the politicians over there. And also the president, Saida, sent me a very warm message. And that actually really inspired me. And she's definitely one of my heroes. I just want to get it out there. She's definitely because she, I mean, obviously the country and herself have a lot of pressure of one of the biggest dictatorship in the world, China. And I think how strong she is standing and how strong the call 24 million people are standing and against this dictatorship, it's amazing. And so I did like a little research about the country, about some of the politicians, and it just became my favorite. And she is one of my heroes now. So, and she invited me over. She said they have lots of basketball fans in the country. So I would love to go to visit and have a big basketball camp over there and actually taste some amazing Taiwan food and just sit down and have a conversation with her. I think it is really important for me to not just receive a message, but sit down and talk to her face to face and hear their struggle. But I think how they're standing strong, and it gives me so much hope and motivation.
How do you see the relationship between NBA and China? Mm-hmm. We have seen former Rockets manager Maurice Case and your case. How do you think NBA could balance profit and principles? What is the best strategy for this great brand and great organization?
Well, I mean, that was NBA's goal from day one, to expand itself to the whole world, not just in America. And I obviously, after they drafted Yao Ming, I believe back in 2008, they opened that door to China. And obviously, it's no lie that the NBA is making billions of dollars every year from China. And I look at the stats that last year, there are more people watched in NBA in China than American population, over 400 million people. So the business side of it is real. And I know, yes, they are, NBA is making lots of money, but again, they need to understand, you know, there are, in a country like that, you know, where there is a genocide happening. And in a country like that, where if you look at the Tibetan people, where there is a pretty much cultural genocide, when you look at Hong Kong, you know, where there is no, you know, China has been pressuring them for many years. When you look at them, when you look at a country like that, they are trying to invade Taiwan, and Taiwan is on the news every day because of that. I think NBA needs to be a little careful of what they do and what kind of business they're doing. And also, NBA's biggest sponsor is Nike. And every year, Nike is obviously, I mean, now everybody knows, I don't need to even explain it. Everybody knows about the sweatshops over there, you know, in Xinjiang, and not just in China, but many other countries. So I believe when Adam Silver, the commissioner, you know, goes out there and says, you know, this is a league that stands, you know, more and bigger than basketball. They need to be a little more careful of what kind of business that they were doing or with who, you know. So I feel like Adam Silver needs to be more careful of what kind of business they're doing with China.
When people search Ennis Cantor Freedom on Chinese search engines, there's no results showing as if you do not exist. Mm-hmm. And on some Chinese websites, if people want to search Celtics player statistics, mm-hmm. you don't have a name on it. you are listed as number 13. On some websites, they even takes your statistics down. What is your response to that?
Well, I'm actually kind of used to this from Turkey. You know, in Turkey, they banned my Twitter account. They censored all my basketball games in the whole country. And they censored my name because they're scared. They know that I'm exposing them. And now when I saw that, you know, the Chinese government doing the same thing, it actually gave me an extra motivation because I was like, well, whatever I'm doing is right. Whatever I'm doing is really scaring them. So that's why they are doing what they're doing right now. You know, they ban my name. They actually ban all the Celtics games in a whole country. And that is unacceptable. And that is, it's a shame. And but at the same time, it's funny. Well, I think one more time, they show the whole world that they are a dictatorship and they do not care about freedom of speech or freedom of press, you know, and it's a shame.
You also mentioned that you would like to have a free conversation with Peng Shuai. Mm-hmm. How do you see Peng Shuai's case and the mere phone calls she had with the IOC and photos released?
First of all, I want to talk about the International Olympic Committee. They are corrupt and they sleep in the same bed with China. So whatever they're saying, do not believe that. Whatever International Olympic Committee is saying, do not believe them because they are pretty much a puppet of the Communist Party. You know, obviously, she disappeared. And then a while later, she appeared again. While we know she's alive, we still don't know if she's free to speak, free to travel. And Chinese government doing everything they can to control the narrative about her, you know, because, and I think that what happened to her showed the world one more time about what we should do about our athletes, to if we should send them to Winter Olympics or not. Because whenever I have a conversation with these Olympic athletes, I am always trying to bring her in a conversation. I was like, listen, look what they did to their own tennis player. Are you really going to feel safe going to China? And they think about it. They are like, yeah, what they do to their own tennis player was messed up. I don't believe she's free, you know? And I think everything that, you know, she appeared and she had a conversation with IOC and she had she put a statement out there. I believe it's all Chinese Communist Party's propaganda. And I hope one day that she will be free to speak. And then the world can see one more time what the Chinese Communist Party is all about.
You have been very vocal in calling for boycotting the Winter Olympics in Beijing. We know that the Winter Olympics is happening in a few days. Does it disappoint you that it's still going to take place in Beijing? And do you have something you want to say to the people who consider watching it?
It actually does disappoint me, yes. You know, when I heard about for the first time the U.S. is, you know, putting diplomatic boycotts, and then after that, obviously, a few other countries like U.K., Australia, I believe Canada follow U.S. leads. I was like, it is good, but it is not enough, you know. And shame on, again, International Olympic Committee that organizing games in a country where there is genocide happening right now while we're speaking. And I actually call the games genocide games, you know. I think, you know, diplomatic boycott is not enough. But I hope that more courageous athletes will come out and speak. A person has to be crazy to travel to China right now because of coronavirus. I understand the perspective that they worked 4 years or even more to get to that point, to go to the Olympics, right? But there are bigger things than winning a gold medal, like values, like principles, you know? And you know, China's Communist Party does not represent the core, you know, values of Olympics, like, you know, friendship, respect. They are a brutal dictatorship. They don't respect human rights or freedom, and they hide the truth. So all the athletes are there. Think twice before you go on there. And also Team USA just announced a week ago and said all the athletes coming to China, make sure you have a burner phone because China will tap into your phone. And while you're there, you're not allowed to make any kind of statement about politics or any kind of, you know, the system that, you know, the Chinese government is doing. I mean, that should show the athletes one more time that what they're dealing with.
And for those corporate sponsors like P&G, Nike, Coca-Cola, Intel, Visa, and Airbnb, they may face similar dilemmas like NBA, a hard choice between profit and principles. What do you want to suggest to them?
All the corporates and companies out there, they will face the same, you know, I will say hate from people because, you know, there are so many people out there in the world that knows what's, you know, the Chinese Communist Party is doing. And I feel like to all those, you know, companies or corporate groups that I have so many people and so many athlete friends that just because of what they're doing, all the, you know, the corporates and companies, they stop wearing or drinking or, you know, or dealing with some of the corporate groups or companies. So I understand there are so much money involved and there are so much business involved, but come on, you know, you guys have to be better than that.
You have been wearing specially designed shoes on NBA games. Could you tell us where do you get those shoes and what kind of message do you want to deliver? What feedbacks have you got?
When I was a little kid, I was obviously growing up in Turkey as an NBA fan. And whenever I watched some of my favorite athletes, the first thing I looked was what kind of shoes they're wearing. If they're comfortable, if they are, you know, what color they are, you know, what company they're signed with. So it was my favorite moment to see every shoe. And I mean, as an athlete, you are going out there and playing in front of 20,000 people at the in our arena. And also all your games are televised everywhere in the world. I think putting my shoes on my feet and put some kind of message out there, like, you know, stand with Taiwan or free Uyghurs, stop modern-day slavery, free Hong Kong, and free Tibet. I wanted all the kids out there to research about what is Tibet, what's going on in Taiwan, why is Hong Kong is not free, you know, what's happening in concentration camps, you know? And now every arena I go to, you know, they are always... The fans are always excited about what kind of shoes that I'm going to come up with.
Does being outspoken on human rights issue make any difference in your life as an NBA star? Have you faced pressure from the management, the league, or the sponsors?
I remember first time I put my free Tibet shoes on my feet. There was two gentlemen from the NBA, and they came right. They came to me on the bench right before the game. Told me that we are begging you take those shoes off. And I told them, I was like, am I breaking any rules? They said no. Then I told them, go tell your boss, whoever it is, Adam Silver, the Celtics owner, or whoever you're talking to, I'm not taking my shoes off. I don't care if I get banned or if I get fined. And they said, okay, because that game was right before my citizenship test, and I was getting ready for it. And there are 27 amendments, and my first amendment is freedom of speech. And I didn't want them to take that away from me. And obviously, they did have, I did have lots of pressure from the league, from the player association, but I was like, I don't care what they say. This is the right thing to do. But I wanted to do it for our young generation also, because I want them to grow up as strong-minded people and have courage to talk about whatever they want to talk about.
Do you get other fellow NBA stars' comments on your activism work? Do they show support, opposition, or do not care much?
They care, because especially my teammates. You know, obviously my teammates are like my brothers. And when this old China thing started, they wanted to know what's going on. And we sit down and had a long conversation about what's going on over there in China. And not just my teammates, but, you know, people around the league, players, foreign office people, and athletes from different leagues reached out and said, what's going on? And I explained to them. I was like, listen, this is what's happening over there in China, and this is why I am very outspoken. And when I told them to join me, obviously, and because of they are signed with companies like Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, Puma, or they have some other endorsement deals like Coca-Cola or Powerade or so many other ones, they passed. They said, listen, we support you, we're going to pray for you, but we cannot join you because of there are so much, obviously, business and money involved. It did broke my heart in a way, but I am alone in this too, but someone had to do it. You see, there are so many athletes, actors like John Cena, rappers, singers, celebrities, or people who has platform are scared to say a word because of, obviously, money. You know, we're talking about lots of, you know, problems, and every time we talk, it's all about money or business for them. But I'm like, there are bigger things in the world than making extra few million dollars or signing with a couple of other companies or for endorsement deals. So I was like, have some morals.
Being a basketball player and an activist at the same time, does it get a little bit overwhelming sometimes?
It could get overwhelming, yes. But at the end of the day, knowing that you're doing this for innocent people will always give you extra hope and motivation to stay up and work or reach out to more people or find some ways or think about some ways to help people. And I think, you know, this is my job. You know, everyone think I'm a basketball player. Yes, I do. I am a basketball player. But I think what I'm doing is bigger than basketball. And I want to make this very clear. I don't do politics. Some people say that stay away from politics, focus on basketball. But there's a big difference between politics and human rights. I never said vote for this guy, don't vote for this guy. I always say we need to have, you know, free political prisoners. You know, we need to have human rights. We need to have freedom of speech and freedom. And we need to, you know, bring awareness of countries like Taiwan or Ukraine because of what they're going through right now. So I feel like this is bigger than basketball. So I won't stop or just play basketball. I will talk about the issues that are happening.
Do you consider one day running for office?
Actually, a lot of people are asking me that. I do, actually. I do want to get in politics, American politics. And I do have a lot of friends in the Senate, in Congress. And, you know, and just because of I'm dealing with too many issues, I feel like the real change can become with bills, with creating laws, with pressure, putting diplomatic pressure. And I do believe I have a future in politics, but I still want to play basketball, and I hope another 5-6 years. I'm 29, I'm healthy, and we'll see, maybe in the future.
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，再见。